Good morning, welcome back to Nachyami. We're going to be concentrating on the second parak of Melachim Beis. This is the parak in which Eliyahu ascends to Shamayim, to heaven. This is a really jam-packed parak, so hold on to your seats. We've got a lot of ground to cover, a lot of depth. This parak we could spend hours and hours on. We'll try to get a little bit of a scraping the surface. First of all, one thing just to point out before starting this parak is you'll notice that Elisha becomes a person now. Up till now, Elisha has been the Talmud of Eliyahu, and we've known very little about him. From now on inwards, we're going to hear a lot about him. I think this sets up a very important dynamic of Talmud and Rebbe, and that is that the Talmud has very little to say when the Rebbe is still around. When the Rebbe is still there, they're absorbing. When the Rebbe is no longer, then they're transmitting. This is an important point you see that's going on. So the first episode in our parak, which is the first few psukim, describes that it sort of sets the tone of the parak by saying, it was when Hashem brought Eliyahu up to heaven in a storm. They both went from Gilgal. Now it describes the story. So that was almost like the framework of the parak, and now the story opens. So Eliyahu first turns to Elisha and he says, Hashem sent me to Beis El. You know, you should stay here. And Elisha says, no, I'm coming with you. As they get to Beis El, the Bnei Nevi'im, these are the student Nevi'im, come out to Elisha and says, psst, Elisha, do you know that that Eliyahu's going to be taken up to heaven? And Elisha says, I know, keep quiet. And then Eliyahu says to Elisha, I'm going to go to Yericho, you stay here. And Elisha says, no, I'm coming with you. They get to Yericho, and then the Bnei Nevi'im come out and they say, psst, Elisha, do you know that Eliyahu's going to be taken up to Shemayim? And Elisha says, I know, keep quiet. And then Eliyahu says to Elisha, I'm going to go across the Jordan. You stay here. And Elisha says, I'm going with you. So as they go out, 50 of the Bnei Nevi'im come and sort of follow them, and they sort of perch themselves on the west bank of the Jordan, and they're watching this whole episode. So what actually happens? The Psukim describe that Eliyahu takes off his cloak, and he spreads it over, and he hits the water, and they split through the water. The Mefarshim will point out that he didn't actually split the Jordan River. He did not create a miracle like Yeshua or like Moshe. He rather spread his cloak over the water, at least if that's the way we're going to understand this physically, and walked across it. They get to the other side of the Jordan, on the east bank of the Jordan, and Eliyahu says, what can I give you that you can take with you? And Elisha answers very curiously. He says, I want pi shnayim beruchacha elai, twice of your spirit on me. And Eliyahu says, hu, ikshisa lishol, you asked a very tough one. Im terasi lukach mitach, if you're able to see me being taken, yilach, you'll get it. Be'im ayin, lo yiye. And if not, not. So a very curious discussion they have. Nonetheless, what actually happens next is that Eliyahu goes up. They're walking, and a chariot of fire with horses of fire separate the two of them. And Elisha gets onto this chariot and disappears into the heavens. At this point in time, Elisha calls out the famous eulogy, Avi, Avi, Rechev, Yisrael, Parasha, my father, the chariot of Israel. Means that a chariot is always understand that when you talk about a Merkava, he's the vehicle of Hashem's word in this world, and its chariots, and its horses. And he never ever saw him again. He tears his clothes into two. Then he picks up the fallen cloak of Eliyahu. Eliyahu's cloak falls off as he gets into the chariot, and he goes and crosses the Jordan, and everybody clearly sees. These Bnei Nevi'im clearly saw that Elisha has picked up the mantle physically and spiritually of Eliyahu. And they come to him and they make a very interesting request. They say, look, we should really look for Eliyahu among all the caves and all the mountains. And Elisha says, don't bother. No, really, it's you don't need to. And they say, no, we really should. And he says, okay, go ahead. And they search for him and they don't find him. Strange what's really going on over there. Let's finally close up the parak. The parak continues to describe two interesting episodes that happen. And that is he comes back across the Jordan. And of course, the first city that he meets is, of course, Jericho, Yericho. And they complain to him that there's this bitter water problem that they have there. The water is contaminated and people are dying because of this. It's creating a lot of miscarriages and problems with the children. And so what he does is he tells them to take a new plate or new container, place in it mela, salt, and he places the plate, puts it into the water, and it'll sweeten the water and it'll heal them, and that's what they do, and there's no longer death in Yericho. Episode number one. Episode number two is, as he moves back to Beis El, remember he's sort of retracing the steps at the beginning of the parak. The parak started off with Beis El and Yericho, and he walks back to Beis El, and then these children who are mocking him, and apparently Elisha was bald, and they say, Alei Kereach, Alei Kereach, the bald man's coming. Elisha did not like that so much, so he turned to them, he looked at them, and he cursed them, and two bears came out of the forest and killed 42 of the kids. And he went back to Har Carmel, went to Shomron. Wow, I mean, this parak is very, very enigmatic, very difficult to understand on so many levels. Let's try to just unpack this first of all. It seems that both Eliyahu and Elisha, and also the Bnei Nevi'im, all knew about this prophet that Eliyahu was going to be taken up, but they all knew of it independently. What's really going on over here? The Malbim has many beautiful theses on this parak. One of the theses that he has is that as Eliyahu is coming towards his death, he wants to be able to spread the wealth. He wants to spread the word of Hashem to all the Nevi'im, not just to himself, and not just to Elisha, to one student. Sort of like the Moshe model, where Moshe Rabbeinu no longer wanted to just spread it to Yehoshua. He wanted to have the Shivim Nevi'im, right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Baalos, the Shivim Zakenim, in Parshas Baalos, to spread it to those 70 people. And Yehoshua was not so happy about that. When Eldad and Medad started having the Nevuah, yeah, I mean, he got quite upset. Adonim Moshe Kla'em. And Moshe says, Hashem Nevi'im. Moshe wanted everybody to be Nevi'im. So Eliyahu, in a certain sense, was going on to light the fires of these B'nai Nevi'im. He wanted to go to Ebeisel and Yericho to light the fire of other Nevi'im, not just Elisha, because he wanted to spread that wealth as his embers were about to go out or to go move on to the next level. It sounds like the part of the interchange that happens, as the Malbim points out, between Elisha and these Nevi'im is exactly that. The B'nai Nevi'im are saying to him, have you heard that Eliyahu is going up? Meaning to say, we can sense, the way that Malbim describes it is imagine a body, the heart is really in the center, and it pumps out blood, oxygenated blood to the rest of the body. So the organs which are closest to the heart are going to feel the impacts of any irregularities from the heart faster than the extremities. So the B'nai Nevi'im are saying to Elisha, have you heard yet? Have you sensed that Eliyahu is going away? Meaning what they're asking is are we close or nearer than you, which is what the debate's going on. Elisha says, no, I really, of course I know. I mean, I'm so close to him, I'm not being replaced. He's just extending his wealth to you as well. Very interesting discussion that goes on. Why is it that they're going to Transjordan? Why is it that Eliyahu need to leave Israel to have this experience of leaving this world? Isn't it sufficient to be in Israel? Isn't Israel the holiest place? So the Radak points out that the reason is because he's actually going to the place towards where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu never had access to the land of Israel. He died in Arvas Moav and was buried by Hashem. So to speak, in the same sort of sense, Eliyahu, we've seen many parallels between Eliyahu and Moshe. Eliyahu was going up in that same place in honor, in deference to Eliyahu. When it came to this miracle of splitting the Jordan, the Malbim again points out what an unbelievably beautiful idea. He says that, of course, we talk about, metaphysically, there's these four elements, earth, water, fire, and air, which is used, of course, the four elements, which in the old chemistry, but they certainly have some metaphysical properties as well, in terms of the midos of a person is spiritually as well. What the Malbim says is that Eliyahu is shedding the bottom two layers. He's shedding the earthliness of himself, and he's shedding the waterness of himself. Those two aspects of his nature, which relieves him only to have spirit, air, and fire, which is what allows him to walk over the water. His idea of taking off his robe, in a certain sense, of taking off the chomrios, off that sort of levush, that extra layer of himself, which is spreading out of the river, and Elisha is sort of tagging on as he now is walking across water. Of course, this obviously predates any other claims to walk on water later on in history from particular individuals. Nonetheless, this is what's happening over here as an expression of his shedding slowly his personality, his physical persona. What is it that Elisha is asking for when he's asking Pishnayim? So Chazal say that what he's doing is actually asking for the ability to be able to do twice as much as what Eliyahu does. And we're going to see this. Eliyahu revived one dead boy, the boy of the widow. We're going to see Elisha is going to revive two lives. We're going to see a number of times where Elisha's power seems to double that of Eliyahu's, which is strange because usually you can't ask of a somebody more than what they are themselves. But nonetheless, what he's saying is, because you're going into the next dimension, from that dimension, please send back what double of what you were here on earth, which is what the way Chazal's understanding this. The Malbim says, actually, spiritually speaking as well, we know that Eliyahu is attributed to the spirit of Pinchas. Pinchas actually, Kabbalistically speaking, absorbed two neshamas. He absorbed the neshama of Nadav and Avihu. He served in their place when they were taken up in Eish Zara. And so what Elisha is asking, says the Malbim, is to fill those two neshamas which Eliyahu had, which is the Pishnaim. A very fascinating idea. And when Eliyahu says to him, you can only get it if you actually see me go up, means to say, if you have the ability to be able to partake or be part of the experience of my ascent to heaven, then you actually are not gay, you are part of this. Okay, now I'm obviously going up to heaven in the fiery chariot is an expression of Eliyahu's spiritual leaving this world. The physical aspects of him burn up except for his arderis, for his cape. It is interesting that the other Nevi'im don't understand this, because when they're looking, when they're sending a search party, they're not looking for Eliyahu. They're looking for his body, because they believe, they understand that his spirit went up to heaven, but they believe that his body in the, must have fallen somewhere else. And they wanted to bury it in respect for him. And that's what Elisha is saying. No, no, no. It no longer exists. He shed it. That's what that's the discussion which seems to be going on here. We have between the Bnei Nevi'im and Elisha. Halachically speaking, we learn an interesting thing from this parak, and that is that a Talmud Muvak is Koreha, tears Kriya for the death of their teacher, which we see from Elisha's actions here. This is brought down in Halacha. Two last points over here. What's the significance of the healing of the water? And what is the significance of that bear episode at the end of the parak? Number one, the Radak points out, when it comes to the significance of the healing of the water, why was it that the water was poisoned in Yericho? Yehoshua only gave a curse on rebuilding Yericho to the person who rebuilt and not the people who dwelt there. So Radak suggests that Eliyahu himself cursed the people who lived in Yericho, because it was during his days, in the times of Achav, that Chiel rebuilt Yericho. So Eliyahu was not going to accept this kind of action, and curse the people. What Elisha is doing over here is allowing them to live. And if you think about that, the first significant action that Elisha does, takes on behalf of being the prophet of God, is to undo the curse of Eliyahu on the place of Yericho, which is, again, says something about his leadership and how it's going to differ to the leadership of Eliyahu. Finally, the bears, why so serious? Like, why in the end of the day did he kill these children? This is 42 children. Aren't these innocent children? So all the Mefarshim point out, the Radak, the Ralbag point out, that when he looked at these children, it wasn't that he just killed them at a whim. He was, you know, getting oversensitive about his, you know, state of hair on his head, or lack thereof. What was actually going on was he looked at them, it triggered him to look into them, and he looked through them, and he saw that there was no value in them or in their future. Can you imagine? I mean, being such a individual. And so therefore he said that you're just taking up space in this world. What a terrifying idea. And he essentially ended their lives. It is important that the Radak points out, quoting Chazal, that at the end of Elisha's life, he's going to suffer sickness, three different types of sickness, and one of them is because of this episode. Because of this, he was punished, even though it was warranted. You see an interesting thing. On the one hand, these two episodes. One episode is Rachamim, one episode is Din. Elisha is going to straddle the two throughout his life, which is something which Eliyahu himself also struggled with, which is a continuation of that. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.